Insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, along with co-host
Ebb Wilkinson,
broadcasting live from the KVOI, did it again, KVOI Modern Broadcast Complex in Tucson, Arizona, welcoming you to a springtime edition of Inside Track with our special guests, Scott Powell and General McGuire here shortly. The Palaverdes and Tombstone Roses are blooming and the Mesquites are finally leafing out. Major League Baseball is back for 22. Viva Los Dodgers. Ebb and I are hoping you enjoy the season, even if your noses are running and your eyes are itching.
Yeah. And my noses are running and my eyes are itching.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for tuning in this afternoon. We've got another great show for you today. After the rundown, we'll be talking to a friend of the show, Scott Powell, about the Elon Musk and Twitter fiasco, which, in my view, is not really a fiasco at all. I kind of enjoy it. At the bottom of the hour, retired U.S. Air Force Major General and former Arizona National Guard Adjutant General and now GOP candidate for U.S. Senate, Mick McGuire joins us for his first visit to Inside Track. We welcome your calls today on the Corazon Cabinets Live line at 790-2040. Before we get going, let me remind you that Inside Track is brought to you by our great supporters, Jamie and Gary Kipper from Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Their junk is your treasure. Call Jamie or Craig at 209-1576. And also Eric Rudin at Essential Pest Control, who shares your dislike of bugs, vermin, and weeds. Call the Essential team at 886-3029. And I got to tell you, Bruce, they do a great job. And also Joy and Allie at Corazon Cabinets, another great company. They do high-quality cabinets for your home. You'll love them, and you'll absolutely love the price. Bruce just placed his new order and can't believe how quickly they designed and bid the job. Call Corazon Cabinets at 488-2266 to find out how easy it is to work with the Corazon team.
Also supporting Inside Track is my friend and Inside Track co-host, Ebb Wilkinson from Wilkinson Wealth Management. Let Ebb help you never have to depend on socialist security again. Call him at 777-1911. All of our sponsors are locally owned, family-run businesses you can depend upon. Ebb and I do, so should you. Now here's the rundown. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court confirmed after she received 53 votes, including Republicans Mitt Romney plus Lisa Murkowski, who was seeking re-election in Alaska, and Susan Collins. Mitt Romney said he voted for KBJ because he had concluded that she is a well-qualified jurist and a person of honor. She may possess honor, however, her radical view of the U.S. Constitution should have been a concern for him, as well as her lack of being forthcoming in her answers when interviewed by some Senate Judiciary Committee members, and her incredible statement she was ambivalent about natural rights of American citizens, which should have been an immediate disqualifier to her confirmation from any genuine conservative. In a sign of virtue signaling himself, Utah Senator Mitt Romney joined the Democrats in standing with them to applaud her confirmation, which may not win many new friends when he seeks re-election in 2 years. In other confirmation news, South Carolinian Jamie Harrison ran against and lost to Senator Lindsey Graham in 2020. His reward for failure in that election was his promotion to the DNC chairmanship. This week, Mr. Harrison demonstrated why he lost his election when he called U.S. Senator, former highly decorated Army Ranger, Harvard law-trained lawyer Tom Cotton, the lowest of the low and a little maggot-fested in man. Say that again. The lowest of the low and a little maggot-infested man. Pretty incredible. He also referred to the Republican Party as a party built on fraud, fear, and fascism. All this from the chairman of the Democrat Socialist Party, whose leader, Joe Biden, has snuggled up to despots, ignored brutal aggression by dictators, looked past human rights violations, created the highest inflation in 40-plus years, left the U.S. dependent on foreign oil, spent not just your grandchildren's wealth, but their grandchildren's wealth as all, while they took care of their cronies and wants to fundamentally destroy our founding principles and the strength of a republic. Eb?
Yeah, and basically the Ruskies are committed to more war crimes this week, killing nearly 50 evacuees trying to seek safety in Krama, Torsk, and dozens of bodies are dead in the streets, plus many more bodies uncovered in mass graves who appear to have been executed in Bucha during the brutal war entering its seventh week. In Russia, the Putin government's official reaction to any protest or objection to their war in Ukraine, "We will kill you." Alexander Teplikov wanted to speak out against the war in Ukraine, but feared landing in prison if he took part in a public protest. So the Russian activist designed an anti-war sticker featuring Russian and Ukraine flags and the phrase "No to War," and posted and distributed thousands of them around Moscow. He got in trouble anyway. Russian police hauled the 23-year-old to the Presnyky District Police Station on March 1st. According to the copy of his police records reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Teplikov said he was repeatedly beaten over the head by one officer while in custody. A second officer pressed a pistol to his leg and coerced him into divulging the name of his fellow activist. "He started screaming at me to start writing," Mr. Teplikov said in a telephone interview. He said the police officer threatened him by saying, "We will kill you right now." The UN voted this past week to suspend Russia from membership in the UN. 24 nations voted against the suspension, including China, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, and Syria. 58 nations abstained, including India, Mexico, South Africa, Kuwait, Indonesia, and Iraq. Don't you wonder why so many countries are afraid of supporting freedom from an oppressor country? This week, the White House continued to deny Joe Biden's knowledge of Hunter Biden's shady business deals in China, Russia, and Ukraine. Presidential Press Secretary Jen Psaki, otherwise known as Peppermint Patty, added yes when asked by a reporter whether the president has refrained to this day from talking to Hunter Biden about the lucrative deals, including China and Ukraine. Psaki is leaving soon. Jen Psaki is reported to be leaving soon for the Democratic apologist cable outlet MSNBC this spring. Some days she may be forced to answer for her daily disinformation and cover-up of the Biden scandals.
Let's go to primary candidate for governor, Matt Salmon, speaking to Mike Broomhead on his show this week about the revocation of Title 42, which Joe Biden announced will end next month.
Mike, as far as the Title 42, it expired. Even Mark Kelly sent a letter to the president saying, please don't let this expire without a very valid plan in place to make sure that there's not mayhem at the border. And then Katie Hobbs, on the heels of everything, says that she completely supports Joe Biden letting Title 42 expire when she was on Politics Unplugged. So it shows how very out of touch she is with the border situation.
Is allowing another 2.5 million illegals into the country in the next year what Katie Hobbs wants? She may think this is a good thing for Arizona, but even Mark Kelly and Kyrsten Sinema disagree, Eb.
In other immigration news, remember what we told our young children about staying away from potentially dangerous people? The Washington Times this week reported that a leaked DHS document says the U.S. plans to offer broad-scale release mechanisms for illegal aliens. That doesn't end well. Lastly, on immigration news, Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced this week's illegal detainees in Texas would be transported to Washington, D.C. after Joe Biden announced his plan to cancel Title 42 restrictions on asylum seekers. At a press conference on Wednesday, the governor announced that Texas would place state troopers in riot gear to meet the migrants at the border and bus them straight to the steps of the U.S. Capitol in D.C., where he said the Biden administration will be more able to immediately address the needs of these people that they're allowing to come across our border. And Bruce, that's a good thing.
I agree.
This week, there was a report made public that President Biden's pick for the CIA general counsel connected to the CCP state-owned pharma. President Biden's pick to be the CIA's most senior lawyer did legal work in the past for large Chinese Communist Party-linked pharmaceutical company, according to congressional documents and testimony. Kate Heinzelman, the CIA general counsel nominee, did not initially disclose her work for the pharmaceutical firm known as WuXi, but later confirmed the work in response to written questions from Senator Marco Rubio, vice chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. At a hearing on Wednesday, Mr. Rubio noted that Ms. Heinzelman is one of several qualified Biden administration nominees who worked for Chinese government-linked companies in the past and who are now seeking sensitive positions in government. And Bruce, that does not end well either.
No, it does not.
In written answers to policy questions posed by the committee, the CIA general counsel nominee did not at first disclose the work for WuXi as a partner for the Washington law firm Sidley Austin. She stated that the firm had worked for 17 foreign government-linked firms, including at least one from China. Is her nomination a mistake or intentional? We may ask our first guest, Scott Powell, after our first break today. I think I know the answer.
Yeah.
We're also going to be talking with Scott about the amazing news that mega billionaire Elon Musk now owns 9.2% of Twitter and has been named to their board of directors.
Mr. Producer, let's go ahead and take our first break and hear messages from our great supporters. We welcome your calls on the Corazon Cabinets live line today at 790-2040. You're listening to Inside Track. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Scott Powell. Jamie Kipper and her father, Gary Kipper, from Tucson Iron and Metal. What are they going to see when they come through the gates?
So when they come on in, they'll see our building up front. People have free rein to then go out and look in the yard. So it's not a typical scrapyard with a ton of big machinery. We have a couple of forklifts around, but that's about it, just to help move material. So when you come in, it's all organized by material, whether it's square tubing, angle iron, roofing, and then there is a pile in the back, which is still organized and easy to get through, but that's stuff that comes over from the scrap. So we're unique in that we get stuff in from the scrap, which a lot of artists and people will like or reuse, whether it's a sink that someone needs for their house. We sell literally anything made of metal.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
This is Ed Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, reminding you that every good and excellent thing stands moment by moment on the razor's edge of danger and must be fought for, including getting out of debt, building your wealth, and protecting your God-given right. We manage money for gun owners. Let us help you retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me at 777-1911 or WilkinsonWealthMGMT.com.
Back to Inside Track. Bruce is here. Ebb's here. So is Charles Heller, who has been waiting very patiently on our live line. Charles, what's on your mind today, buddy?
I thought it was very entertaining, the notion that Jen Psaki would ever face an accounting for her dissembling. I thought that virtually hysterical. But anyway, the real reason I called is I think that Republicans and conservatives ought to embrace the elevation of Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. And here's why. I don't like her judicial philosophy at all, but it represents that confirmation represents the final nail in the coffin of the idea that America is a racist country. Because the
No, it doesn't.
Sure it does.
No, it doesn't,
sure,
Charles. I respectfully disagree with you, because no matter what anybody does to create a more just and a racially balanced America, it's never going to be enough, because it's all about politics.
Oh, Bruce, I agree with you completely, but that's why I say it represents the death knell of that philosophy, because it doesn't matter how many times they baa and quack about it being a racist country, the response is, well, that used to be true until Ksenji Brown Jackson. And you just keep repeating it and repeating it ad nauseum until it becomes the societal meme.
Well, you may be right.
I'm done. Thank you.
All right. We're trying to get our guest, Scott Powell, who is scheduled to join us here talking about Elon Musk and his acquisition of 9.2%, and maybe more by now, of Twitter and his elevation to become board member. There certainly are lots of, there's lots of conjecture out there as to how Twitter might change. While we're waiting for Scott, if you have a comment or a question on that, we're all ears here and willing to talk with you. You know, I think Elon Musk has been somebody that you have to wonder about him. He's a guy that's been rejected by the federal government as being a legitimate player for years. It's amazing that SpaceX got their contract with NASA, building rockets and space vehicles for them. You know, Boeing wasted basically $30 billion of the government's money, and their rocket hasn't flown yet, and their spacecraft isn't ready either. But in terms of his ascension to the Twitter board, Ab, you know, it's amazing. In 1960s, the free speech movement, the left embraced the First Amendment. And what we've seen with Twitter and many of the major platforms who cancel free speech, they're not interested in that anymore, because if you don't agree with them, you don't have the freedom of free speech, do you?
No. And once again, take a look at what else is going on. Where's the ACLU in all this? You know, we've not heard one peep from them.
Because they're supporting a leftist agenda.
Because they're supporting the leftist agenda. And Bruce, this whole thing goes through the entire leftist agenda. Anytime you see a conservative woman,
right,
be it white or black, being attacked, you know, the National Organization of Women never sticks up for them. Whenever you see a woman being attacked by a Democrat,
right,
you never see the National Organization of Women stand up for them at all.
Right. Title IX issues as well.
Title IX issues, exactly. And where the hell are they with all the transgender swimmers and everything else? Look, I don't mind if they want to compete with
other transgender swimmers. Wrestlers or whatever the case might be.
Absolutely. But don't say that you're going to go ahead and compete on the women's team because you can't effectively compete on the men's team. And then do it. And I mean, if Leah Thompson were true to her, what she says, you know, she'd get surgery and get that taken care of. I'm saying she doesn't want to.
Too much information.
Well, just
look. The thing with free speech in this country, it's free speech, like I said before, until you disagree with whoever you're speaking to.
And the free speech we need to defend the most is that which we abhor.
That's exactly right. And that's what the left had tried to do through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. But that is all changed. And it is, I think that when we look at what's happened in the area of free speech with canceling other people out, it is an election strategy. It's political. And getting back to Judge Brown Jackson, look, she does have the educational background. She has served as a state court judge. She has served as a federal judge. She's served as a now appellate judge in the D.C. Circuit. Nobody questions her qualifications from resume and from background and education, but she doesn't believe the same things in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence, the other founding documents that are so important to us in the 2022 era.
And more importantly, she won't articulate her true beliefs. Look, I have friends that are politically polar opposite of me, and they're dear friends because we can talk about each other's beliefs, not trash them,
right.
But they can articulate why they believe what they believe. It doesn't have to be the same thing that I believe, but they can articulate why they believe what they believe, and we can have a rational discussion. But when you get a Supreme Court justice nominee who, number one, can't define a woman, really? Then how do you know you're the first? How do you know you're the first black woman nominee to the Supreme Court? Yeah.
And she mocks the process by saying, "Well, I'm not a biologist." Okay, and that's just being a smart aleck.
It is being a smart aleck. You know, it's like the woman giving birth, and the doctor says, "Congratulations." She says, "Is it a boy or a girl?" "I'm a doctor, not a biologist." Seriously? Or we need to wait until they tell us what gender they are.
Yeah, great point. I think we have a caller, Joseph, who's holding on the line. Tom, Mr. Producer, is Joseph there?
Hello, Joseph.
Daniel, okay.
Hello?
Daniel, you're on live with Eb and Bruce on this unprofessional radio show today.
Apparently, your close friends call you Joseph.
Okay, I've got some grandchildren here that are kind of interested in this answer.
Yeah.
My girls that are can compete with the boys in their high school and their college sports, they have to play with the other little girls. But yet, if they go into the Army, and I tell you, I've played in college, and I've been in a couple of wars, and the wars are a whole lot tougher, and yet the women are competing exactly with the men to get into the same programs in the Army and Navy, and yet they can't do it in high school and college. And I'm wondering why we're negating that fact and just totally ignoring it. Can you answer that for my kids?
Well, I think there are some females who do compete on football teams.
And wrestling teams.
Right now, and have for some time. The female football players are most of the time kickers, either punters or place kickers.
Well, we're talking about the national policy, though. Can we address that? I mean, we're worrying about some guy who's got so many worms in his head, he doesn't know if he's a man or a
yeah.
woman, and yet he's swimming with the girls.
Right.
Now, why can't the girls swim with the boys? They're playing with the boys in the Army and getting shot up.
Well, look, I can speak only to swimming because that's something I competed at a fairly high level in high school and in college. And
yeah, but you know the national policy. I mean, you're sounding on the radio just like too many of our Republicans sound in Washington. They don't want to really address the facts. How can I vote for a Republican that lets 100 Americans sit and rot in a Washington prison without even being charged? I mean, that's
okay,
worse
you're
than the Spanish
changing,
Inquisition, and yet the Republicans don't say a thing about it. What a bunch of gutless pukes!
All right, you've changed the topic entirely, and on that
the
issue,
Republicans just have no courage to speak up.
All right, on the issue of Republicans not standing up for these several dozen or even a couple of hundred men and women who are sitting in jails in the D.C. area, I could not agree with you more. That is as bad as the different feminist organizations who have said nothing at all about the problems with Leah Thomas swimming and competing against those swimmers on a national level. Paul, I got to let you go. We have another caller coming in. Thanks very much for your comment. I think we agree on a lot more than we disagree. Thanks
very much.
Who
else is on the phone?
Tom, who's on the call?
Or caller, just go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
When I first heard that Biden was opening up the border, my first thought was send him off to the White House if he wants them. If they can't get into Texas, they're all going to come to Arizona. Is anyone going to press Governor Ducey to do the same thing that Governor Abbott in Texas is doing, to put them all on a chartered bus and send them all to the Capitol? President Biden take care of them if that's what he wants. The other thing is Congress could declare an invasion and block the border too.
You know, great points, and I want to go one step further. And it may seem like I'm trying to change the topic, but it really is kind of the same stuff. Earlier this week, lawsuits were filed in federal court disallowing Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, and Mark Fincham from qualification as candidates in the upcoming election. Biggs and Gosar to the U.S. Congress, and Fincham, of course, to Secretary of State, because of allegations that they participated in what some Democrats, or many Democrats, call an insurrection on January 6th. That is just as wrong as anything could possibly be. Now, getting back to Governor Ducey, I think that he does need to show some more spine. And what Governor Abbott in Texas has done is admirable. He was under a little bit of political pressure in his state, even though now he's past the primary period. He's been under pressure by some more conservative Republicans than him to do the right thing.
I'm going to go one step further on that, Bruce. Caller, I absolutely agree with you, but I will tell you right now that on a daily basis, these illegals are being bused to the airport and given airplane tickets to fly anywhere they want to. I'm going to say we don't bus them. We put them on a jet. We fly them to D.C., drop them off. Fly them to Sacramento, drop them off. Fly them to Chicago, Illinois, drop them off. Fly them to Martha's Vineyard and drop them off.
Napa?
Well, Napa would be great.
All the other
wine,
hip places,
but, you know,
for the elites. Caller, you've made great points, and I
absolutely
thank you very much, and hope that you'll call back again shortly. Everybody, what we're going to do is we're going to go to a little bit of an early break. So, Mr. Producer, let's go ahead and take that break. When we get back, we'll be talking with General Mick McGuire, a retired U.S. Air Force Major General. He's running for U.S. Senate in the Republican primary here in Arizona. And stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you think what's happening in Ukraine can't happen here, think again. Look who's occupying the White House. This is one of many things our forefathers predicted and ensured those rights in our Constitution. We manage money for gun owners. Call me at 777-1911 or WilkinsonWealthMGMT.com.
Welcome back to Inside Track. Our guest for the rest of the show today, retired U.S. Air Force Major General Mick McGuire. The general's bio is very impressive. I'll focus on some of the high points. He's U.S. Air Force Academy graduate in 1987, F-16 fighter pilot, numerous overseas deployments in the Middle East with over 4,000 flight hours, commander of the 162nd Air National Guard Fighter Wing, 8 years as the Arizona National Guard Adjutant General, while also serving as our state's Department of Emergency and Military Affairs. And in 2020, he coordinated a huge response of combating COVID, civil unrest, and wildfires at the border.
No, and wildfires as well as the border.
Okay. You have it your way, I'll have it mine.
Even more impressive.
Exactly. Hey, Mick, how's your military background prepared you for the U.S. Senate?
Well, it's prepared me to have multiple fronts that we have to attack, and you see what's happening. You mentioned in your lead-in there, I heard one of your commercials, problems overseas in the Ukraine, continuing problems with the southwest border and the Biden administration revoking Title 32, problems with inflation and out of control oil costs, again, a self-induced wound, and all of the things that we're facing here with the radical left, trying to grab control of everything from indoctrination of kids to having judges in the Supreme Court that are unable to answer some basic biology questions. So, yeah, I think I'm ready for all those challenges.
Let's talk about the judges in the Supreme Court unable to answer biology questions. The Senate heard testimony from now newly confirmed SCOTUS Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson earlier this month, and she wrote in her high court application she does not believe we Americans are endowed with natural rights. Your website says we're a nation of laws, and the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And as a constitutional conservative, I will always stand up against infringement of our constitutional rights. So had you served on the judiciary and knew she believed that we Americans lack rights from God, but instead get our rights from the government, what would your reaction be?
Well, you know, I was asked a question about what I would want her to answer most specifically as a jurist. And it's a simple question. Does she believe as a member of the Supreme Court that the District of Columbia can become a state? You remember the 2020 race, we were talking not so much about Puerto Rico and Guam, two territories where there's a clear constitutional path to enter the Union, but D.C. becoming a state. Well, that requires an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And as a strict constitutionalist, I was disappointed that none of my future colleagues just asked her that point blank. But you're exactly right. Your liberties and rights are by divine providence of the Lord, and the role of the government is to protect you from tyranny of the government to infringe those.
I guess we don't need to ask you about the stated purpose of government, do we?
No. That's
you answered that question without even being asked.
We're both grinning ear to ear, Mick.
That's an A-plus as a reply, General.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't be adjudicating constitutional issues and not understand that the Constitution is not a living, breathing document. The framers of it intended for it to be enduring and to have an opportunity for it to be amended. We've done that many times through legislative process. And any jurist that thinks that they can amend it or reinterpret it without legislative process is acting outside the scope of their duty.
You know, you bring up a good point. If the left were to interpret the Second Amendment the same way they interpret the First Amendment, we'd have to all go out and buy firearms or be issued them by the government. And yet they don't.
Yeah, you know, I was at an event, been a candidate 10 months, driven 40,000 miles, the only U.S. Senate candidate in the great state of Arizona that didn't pay a circulator to collect any of the 11,500-plus.
Good for you.
Collected. We did that all one at a time. I was at an event recently, and a guy said, General, you just quoted the Second Amendment, which, you know, we can do that here, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And he said, well, you were the commander of that well-regulated militia, the National Guard. Why does a private citizen need an AR-15? The person at the event said, I don't think they need that. And I said, well, remember, Antonin Scalia reminded us that the Second Amendment pretexts the Constitution. The word freedom, as it appears there in that statement, is about freedom from tyranny of the government. And that in 1903, the National Guard accepted a deal to have funding and their equipment be fully funded by the federal government. So all of the weapons that belong to that, quote, well-regulated militia now belong to the federal government. And I said, so if the federal government from either side were to say we're seizing the weapons, they would control all of that, and the well-regulated militia would be moot. That's why you need an AR-15.
That's a great answer, General.
For any other reason. And that is the only reason you need it.
General, I'm going to interrupt here for a second. I don't believe anyone should own a single AR-15. They better own multiple AR-15s.
Well, listen, in a free country, law-abiding citizens can exercise their capital and their monies how they would like. And if they'd like to have multiples, knock yourself out. I have a few.
That's right. That's right.
Bruce.
General, this is Bruce. Thanks for joining us today. And I appreciate you honoring voters to appear here with us and the voters who are listening in. Not all of your opponents have been quite as forthcoming. I've heard from many friends who see you in person. And to a person, General, they've been very impressed with your forthcoming honesty and directness. Just need to pay that compliment before we get going.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, your website, which is electmick.com, that's a great website for your campaign, reflects your support of the Second Amendment. As you know, General, Israel, in the last week, there have been 13 innocent people that have been murdered in the street by terrorists. Prime Minister Bennett and Defense Chief Gantz have urged Israelis to carry their firearms with them to help prevent more mayhem, and they've proposed a civil guard to work in conjunction with the police and the IDF. I don't want you to comment on the differences in government because, you know, they have a parliamentary government. We have, constitutional republic. But looking at what's happened in Israel and then bringing it back home, why is a well-armed populace so important to the safety of America now, just as it is in Israel, do you think?
Well, I think the Israel is a great example, but an even greater example, Bruce, right now is the Ukraine. Think about the devastation that a bunch of Ukrainians with 30-06 deer rifles have had on the conventional forces of the Russian military. And I tell people, you know, you can look as far back as even Iwo Jima when we're shelling that island for days. And, you know, historians estimate that in that 6 days of preparatory shelling, they might have lost less than 100 Japanese soldiers, and then tens of thousands died. We took the beach. It's really about that idea of putting a boot on the other guy's throats. And I think that what is clear is that our Second Amendment is always going to be about having the ability to raise that militia and protect us from tyranny of the government. And tyranny can come in many forms, but beyond that, for conventional defenses, it's key. And, you know, when we talk about the Ukraine, Bruce, I said there, and this, Israel is related to this, there are three key events that Biden fumbled that put us in this position. First, he gets sworn in and says we're going to shut off being an energy exporter. Second, April, May of 2021, Hamas bombs Gaza, and members of the squad go on the floor of the House of Representatives and scream death to Israel. And every Israeli is nervous that there's no widespread condemnation from the Jewish community in the U.S. And third, we completely made the worst mistake ever in the way we left Kabul, a complete disaster, and Putin and Xi Jinping are emboldened. So that's what's playing out on the ground. And thank the Lord they have the ability to use 30-06 rifles and the rest, because they've done a really good job of holding off an invading army there.
You sure right about that. Hey, I want to go back to a question from a couple seconds ago. Your father also reached the rank of Major General. How did your father's military background influence your own career decisions, General?
Well, my father was actually a lieutenant in the Navy, so I'm sure he would appreciate the promotion.
I thought I had read that he was also a general.
No, he was a CB in the Navy, graduate at Tucson High and U of A. Very proud of him, and successful in business. Did a lot of things there in the Tucson community. Has given a lot back through the U of A now at the McGuire School of Entrepreneurship. My grandfather was a tank driver for Patton at the Battle of the Bulge, enlisted E-8, left the Army National Guard out of Fort Huachuca in the 1st of the 158th Infantry Battalion. Quite the circle of life that his grandson retired as a commanding general April 10th, 2021, after he left there. after a full year in World War II, after Normandy, and then going through the Battle of the Bulge and on into Germany. So, yep, and I'm very proud of the military heritage of my family, very proud of the military heritage of all the great Arizonans. I tell people this state has the deepest well of patriotic capital and political capital in the nation. We're going to tap into that and send old Mark Kelly back to space. I'd say Jeff Bezos needs a driver. There's nothing negative to campaign saying November 9th. You can give him a ride, and we'll buy him enough fuel to make a one-way trip to Mars.
Perfect.
We're speaking with U.S. Senator candidate Mick McGuire. His website, again, is www.electmick.com. If you have a question or a comment for General McGuire, call into the Corazon Live line at 790-2040. Earlier this week, General, Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced plans to bus illegals to Washington, D.C. So the Biden administration would, quote, be able to more immediately address the needs of the people that are allowing them to come across the border. Any reaction to what Governor Abbott did, pro or con?
I think it's brilliant to use the authority that he has to move people to any place other than where they're already being flooded. You know, the Yuma sector is getting hit the hardest of any of the sectors in Arizona. I took a call this week about the Biden administration proposing suspending Title 42, which was the public health provision that allowed us to keep a whole lot of folks in Mexico under the Trump administration when I was the commanding general and emergency manager. He initially revoked that, then reinstated it last year.
Under force. Right,
under force, and now walking away from it, we're looking at 7,000 a day, current apprehension, going up to 18,000. I talked to the Yuma sector chief. He is a colleague that I served with, and he just, you know, they're in a tough spot. They've been told they can't request mutual aid, and this would just exacerbate an already disastrous problem on the border.
So, yeah, Mick, SCOTUS might soon overturn Roe and Casey, leaving each state to make laws to fit their state on life issues. I understand you're pro-life. What are your thoughts on the new laws protecting life of the unborn?
Yeah, first I want to say thanks to Governor Ducey both for signing the transgender bill as well as the 15-week abortion ban. Certainly will be challenged by the left in this state. As you both know, I'm running to be the U.S. Senate, one of 100, a vote, the 51st vote. I tell people, if we don't win Arizona, we are not going to get the majority. It's just that simple. But my thought has always been that's a states' rights issue. I am looking forward to the ruling in the Mississippi case. I am confident that the left is going to come after Arizona's law, Mississippi's law, and the rest. And sometimes the right to life folks get after me about my comment about it being a states' rights issue. I think it's appropriate for the federal government to put up guardrails. So if 15 weeks is 15 weeks. Federal bans could come in subsequent to that once Roe is ruled on. And I think that we've got to look at the problems that we had as soon as these laws were passed. We had people in Oregon and Washington talking about come to Oregon or Washington, you can get an abortion at the 39th week. I think that's unconscionable. And I tell people, take the other side's argument to the point of a hyperbole. What about birth plus one day?
Right.
At what point does it become infanticide?
Well, I don't know. Depending on how my teenagers were reacting, I'd take it further than that. But, hey, we've got a caller on the phone. Mark, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. McGuire. Anyway, I signed the petition for you, and my big concern is a lot of people, I don't think, know who you are. And
that's why he's on the show today, Mark.
Yeah, well, we need to get him on more. And I think you are the absolute best candidate for that position. There's another guy out there that is very well known, and but he had totally ignored Southern Arizona for a very long time while that individual was in a high position in the state of Arizona. And so, you know, there's, you know, I know Maricopa County is the population center of Arizona, but what are your impressions and expansions for Southern Arizona.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Mark. Go ahead, General.
Mark, great question. And that's what I've been dealing with the most. You know, I was asked by CNN, Mark, you're up against two self-funders and a guy that's won statewide as the attorney general. What's your advantage? And I said, the question answers itself. I said, what do you mean? I said, we've never elected a self-funder to the U.S. Senate in our over 100-year history. And if there was such an appetite for previously elected officials, why have three of the four of us never run for dog catcher? And the reporter from CNN said, wait a minute, you're the only guy that's never run for office that's not a self-funder. I said, that's right. Now, Mark, you're right. Name recognition is huge. I've been trying to stack up enough gunpowder to get up on air. And let me just put it this way. We'll break a little news here. You'll be seeing me on air in Southern Arizona and in Maricopa County in the next month. And I think you'll like what you see. But a big part of the game, as Bruce knows, is you got to get through that. The other piece is I went 40,000 miles collecting 11,500 signatures, and I focused my attention on the 13 rural counties. Very hard to pull that, but I can tell you the cattle growers, the cotton farmers, and the copper miners know who Mick McGuire is. The rest of this campaign is going to be focused on two counties, Pima and Maricopa, and I'll come on this show as much as you guys will let me because it is expensive to run these races. On the website, I want to let everybody know we've modified it a bit. ElectMick.com still works, but you can go to iPickMick.com.
I love that.
Go to the same place. iPickMick.com. iPickMick is the slogan for all your listeners. If you don't remember anything else today, just remember iPickMick. You may see that in an ad near you, not that far from out.
Yeah. Mick, I want to bring something else up. Living here in Tucson, we see direct impact of what's going on with the border and the border crisis. Earlier this week, Governor Greg Abbott announced plans to bus the illegals to D.C. so the Biden administration will be able to more immediately address those needs that they're allowing to cross on the border. Any reaction?
Yeah, I think that any place that can help offload the burden in our communities is huge. I am very worried about Pima County, though. I can tell you that Rahina Romero and the others, Sheriff Nanos, when I was the commanding general, were offered assistance by the Guard after the Biden administration cut off the funding for the Guard to support Customs Border Patrol, ICE, and Immigration Services. They were the only border county that refused. And I think all of the citizens of Pima County understand this. Border security is much more than national security in Arizona. It's human security.
Yep.
The drug smuggling, the human trafficking, the sex trafficking is out of control. Our communities are less safe. Our neighbors to the south are less safe. My family first came to Pima County in 1930. My great-grandfather that came in 1930 would be embarrassed about the way the radical left has taken control of Pima County and left the citizens very much at risk while we have my brothers and sisters in arms who are former vets living homeless while we're buying hotels in Benson and Tucson and Scottsdale and Yuma to house people here that are breaking federal law.
How do we, so you get elected to Senate, what do we do with all the cartels essentially controlling the southern border?
Yeah, so the one thing that's different about me is obviously we have to build and complete the wall. We're seeing it down there in Yuma right now. The Cocopah tribe is showing interest because they're having equipment stolen. They've just now put up Normandy barriers and have come back and said, look, there's a 60-foot federal easement through the tribal land. We're interested in trying to secure this area. Once we do that, we can refocus our attention on ports of entry, promoting trade. But what we also have to do is we've got to reactivate those reconnaissance helicopters, the OH-58s, that the Army shuttered in 2014. And we can do all of that in the initial reconciliation with just 51 votes for about $6 to $6.5 billion. And I think it's money well spent. We just spent $6 billion on SoFi Stadium, where they played the Super Bowl. I think sovereignty of the nation is something important. When people ask about Mark Kelly, just remind him of this. He voted for an infrastructure bill and not one dime for the border. The only constitutionally enumerated federal infrastructure is the border.
Realistically, so, how long would it take you to secure the border if given what you want?
Well, you know, down at John Ladd's land, they're less than 800 meters from connecting the power for the lights and the surveillance of the 35 miles of wall they put up. So that could happen relatively quickly. But I think it's something that could be done by 2024, and reactivating the helicopters could happen in less than a year. But we need them. Arizona has the most miles of federal land that borders Mexico, more than any other state. And we've got the tyranny of distance and the wide open spaces. And when people ask me about, well, it's inhumane to have a border, I remind them for 8 years as the commanding general, at least once every summer, we sent a Blackhawk out to pick up a dead body from somebody trying to cross the desert between Lukeville and Gila Bend.
General, I think you probably are pretty much in support of President Trump's America First principles. One of them that doesn't really get enough attention is supporting excellence in education and freedom of choice for parents. Where are you on those issues?
Absolutely. As much money as can come back to the state by shrinking down the Department of Education to provide school choice at every level, I think it's the civil rights era of the civil rights issue of the next generation to be able to allow our kids to make informed choices with their parents about how to best educate them and provide them opportunity for the future. I'll also add that another thing that he was absolutely right on is this idea of bringing home our capabilities to produce things like pharmaceuticals, surgical masks, steel, gunpowder, all the rest of the things that we need. Those are national security issues. And Bruce, I'll tell you, I'm more worried about not our ability to conscript the patriotic capital that raised Rosie the Riveter in the 1940s. It's having places to send Rosie the Riveter should we need her.
Yeah, these are such important issues that are being ignored by the current administration and the current occupant of the U.S. Senate seat by Mark Kelly. You hardly hear a word from him except when he goes and votes practically 100% with the president. We have a real short time, Len. We have Len calling in.
You got 1 minute.
1 minute, Len. Make it fast, man.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call, Mick. I have a suggestion for you. You said you want to get Pima County, you want to get Maricopa County. Here's my proposal. I think you should offer a debate, hold it on inside track, and debate your opponents, get that elevation up high, and light it up. That's all I got.
You bet.
Thanks, Len.
Thanks for the call, Len.
Mick, the lines have been lighting up like fire. Tell us again how people can support you.
Go to ipickmick.com. I need small donors, medium, large, and mega donors in a box with a fox on a train in a plane. All of Dr. Seuss's donors are welcome. And sign up for our email. We're going to get some, we're going to raise that army of voters that say, I pick Mick. So go to ipickmick.com.
All right, we've run out of time today. Thanks for appearing on the show today. Best of luck to you. We hope you won't be a stranger as your campaign moves forward. Hey, our show is podcasted both on the KVOI website and Apple Podcasts, close to 125 Inside Track episodes. Until next week, when we have another great show planned for you with more Republican candidates. For Inside Track, this is Bruce Ash.
And Eb Wilkinson.
Thanking you for listening in today and wishing you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management. Are you letting rising inflation interfere with your ammo budget? Don't do that. Let us show you how to buy the same goods and services 20 years from now as you can today. We manage money for gun owners, and we can guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911 or WilkinsonWealthMGMT.com.
Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. What other kind of customers do you have?
So our biggest customers are actually like ranchers and people from outside of the Tucson area. They're buying a lot of square tubing. They're buying a lot of stuff for their ranch to close off fences.
We'll sell anything from 10 feet to 10,000 feet to somebody that comes in because we have new steel and surplus steel from steel mills. The reason we're able to get such good pricing on some of this stuff is, A, we sell scrap to the mill. So we have a relationship there, and then we can buy material, what they're making, bringing it back. And so we save on freight, and we have relationships for years with them. So I think that's really our niche market. We'll sell whatever you need.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.